to. And Brother Titus will always be my pastor. We'd like to invite you to the conference at West Milton Baptist Church. That'll be June the 27th, 28th, and 29th. It starts Thursday evening at 7 o'clock. Runs through Saturday noon. And we'll be having an ordination service. We'll invite you to come. We'll be ordaining Brother Matthew James. And we'd love to have as many of you brothers that can come there at those services. I debated whether I wanted to say some things, whether I could get through them or not. And then the time that I have, I listened to Brother Charlie pray, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be here and be around those that you've seen the Lord do things in their lives. And it's a real blessing to see, when I seen the choir sing, to see his two boys up there. Because I prayed for them. When I saw them start to go the way of the world, I prayed for you, Matt. And it blessed me. Blessed me to see them out there emptying the trash and doing things, and the young people that are pitching in and taking up where the older ones can't do the things anymore. Each and every one. All right. That's Greg. The young people here are a blessing to me, being one that grew up here. And seeing many of them, love them. But we'll be reading in Isaiah chapter 28, if you'll turn there. Title of this message is, What Kind of Coverage Do You Have? See, I've been in the insurance business for a long time. 27 years, I think, now. So you'll have to bear with me, because I'm one of these people that I relate everything in my life that happens to me. And I use all sorts of types and things that I can that makes it easy for me to understand. But you know, insurance policies deal with perils. And what perils are covered and what ones aren't. Tells us that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Boy, we got to be there. We will turn on the radio and you hear nothing about but wars here, and then the next thing it's earthquakes. And I have to just smile and say, we got to be getting closer every minute. But here in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14, I begin reading here, it says, Therefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth shall it take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, and day by night shall it be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than a man can wrap himself in it. Oh, as I look at verse 15 today, I see so many different groups of people. They've made a covenant in their mind with death and with hell. They're in agreement. They just think that the world will say, oh, the grave, it's it. This life is just it. There are some who believe that there's nothing after this life. And then there is others that will just have their own idea. That they think that maybe their good deeds or what they're doing, they've made some sort of agreement that they'll make it. But the Lord says here that your covenant or your understanding with death shall be disannulled. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the way therein are the ways of death. Oh, there's so many people that say, I've got my idea how religion ought to be, but he said, my ways are higher than your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. Unfortunately, I think that there's many Baptists that also are sitting in pews today that have fallen into this concept that you evolve into something as a Christian. And I worry that there's so many people that have it up here and they don't have it in here. They somehow think that just because they sat in a pew their whole life and they understand it completely, that when that overflowing scourge passes through, it's not going to come nigh them either. But the Lord said there in Matthew chapter 7, He says, depart from me, I never knew you. There's going to be many that hear that, I'm afraid. As I read verse 20 there, it says, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and a covering narrow than a man can wrap himself in it. And I think about covering up, I have to laugh at myself sometimes, because I find that in bed, I'll lay there and I'll find myself squashed all the way over to the side. And I think, how come I have no room? And I'll look over, and I would never allow my children to sleep with me. But there's a little dog about this much on that side of my wife that's got more than half the bed. Ridiculous. That I can't stretch out. And I called her one time from California, and she said, do you miss me? And I'm laying on a king-size bed by myself. Oh man, I could lay this way and I could lay that way. And I said, yeah, I miss you. And then I had to laugh because one time she had loved to have everybody stay in our home. And the first time Brother Troy came and stayed in our home, I'm looking at him and he's like, And she gave him a bed this long. And I said, you're going to put Troy in there on that little antique bed? I thought it would go to the floor. And I said, how'd you sleep on that? He said, I slept like a rock. And I thought, there's no way he could stretch himself out on that bed. But you see, as sinners, we're all sinners and our righteousness are like that. We cannot cover ourselves. We can't stretch ourselves out on a bed that's too short because our righteousness is so small. I sometimes just want to take a nap and I'll say to my, get me a blanket to cover up. Well, she gets me this little thing that's no bigger than a towel. It's an Afghan or something, and I think, I can't cover up with this thing. There's no way I can cover myself. And then I think about it, and I think, there are so many people trusting in far less than that to cover their sin. We're all sinners. We cannot stretch out on our bed because our sin abounds. We cannot hide ourselves nor cover our sin because our righteousness is as filthy rags, and it's way too small. Way too small. In Isaiah 64, here in verse 4, it says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have seen God, neither hath I seen, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Oh, there's a great reward that's for those that have followed and trusted in Jesus Christ. You know, and I heard Brother Titus say this years ago, and it stuck with me, that if we had any idea of what he had prepared for us, we couldn't be satisfied another minute here. If we could even just have a glimpse of it. He says, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those in continuance we shall be saved, but we are all is an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy as rags, and we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Oh, I couldn't do it. He brought me to that place and stirred me up. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. You see, we are sinners, and we cannot begin to cover it with our good deeds. And there are so many people out there that that's what they're trusting in. And it's going to be disannulled. And their agreement with hell is not going to stand. He will come again, and those trusting in them will find out that their righteousness wasn't enough. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, what then? Are we better than they? Oh, many people, that's what they think. Oh, you guys think you're better than everybody else. No. I'm a sinner too. Really. Qualified. That's me. What then? Are they better than they? No, in no wise, for we have both proved, before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way, they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, and with tongues they have used deceit. The poison of the asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of unclean people. Lips. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And there is no fear of God before their eyes. Somebody preached this week on the lack of fear. Oh, we got our covenant with death and hell. We've got our beliefs. If they could only see, as Brother Keller pointed out, that not only has God prepared a body for those who are going to be with Him, but He's prepared a body. See, this body can't suffer the lake of fire. It'd be burned up in moments. Gone. But He's going to prepare a body for suffering too. If they could only see what God has prepared for them too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 it says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You know, I appreciate what Brother Titus said about dress. Oh, we need to hear it. I grew up hearing those kind of things and hearing that kind of preaching every week, and I appreciate it. The first one that told me that long hair was wrong for a man. I never heard it over at the other church. Of course, I didn't hear anything over there until the Lord opened my hearing anyway. But I'm going to read these verses. I may read them too much in the next few years, but 1 Peter chapter 1. Brother Hamill just read there, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And then he said, you're elected to a lively hope, to an inheritance incorruptible, who are kept by the power of God. Read all these things about what marvelous things that the Lord has done for His people. And then in verse 13 he says, wherefore? Wherefore? Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, unless you're deceiving yourselves, if you're saved, you shouldn't be fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Oh, I'm so thankful to see those who choose to dress godly. But this day and age that we live in, young people, and not just young people, older people trying to act young. I see men my age with earrings in their ear and I want to go, Pruh! I think, come on, get over it. You're pushing 50 or whatever. Doesn't make me feel any better to see it in young people. Just young people, I think, that maybe they're ignorant yet and they haven't seen it, or the Lord hasn't saved them or shown them, or maybe they're just deceived. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28, look at these verses, or this verse. It's the word of the Lord. When Brother Titus mentioned that, I thought, who are you dressing for? And who are you? Why are you dressing the way that you dress? Are you doing it for the dead? Or are you doing it for the living? And here in Leviticus 19 verse 28 it says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. Well, in the Bible, the dead are the lost. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, for I am the Lord. Oh, we live in a day and age, you know, and things, fads come and go, and Brother Troy and I were just talking about the fad of a few years ago, how it was this. Listen to him in my mouth. That was a fad just a few years ago that I seen some of the young people at this church get caught up in. I'm glad that for the most part it's gone. But the fad now is to pierce about everything you can on your body, from your eyebrow to your ear to your nipples to whatever. Boy, that shouldn't be God's people. And to tattoo everything under the sun. Channel surfing one day, I seen this boy that had rings all down his back pierced, and I thought, who's he doing that for? Who's he worshiping? Who's his God? Young people call themselves Christians, and I want to say, who are you fooling? Look with me over in James. Well, let's read over in Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8. Oh, you see, people say they've got a covenant with death and with hell. They're with agreement, you know. It says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? I really believe that Baptist children have grown up thinking, well, once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter how I live. I can just dress and do, and I'm delivered to do all these abominations. Your agreement with hell may not stand. When that overflowing courage passes through, you may find that you're the one that's in vexation knowing the truth. You see, what the truth is there, it says, it shall take your covenant. Let me read verse 18. With hell shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. And from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. Morning by morning shall it pass over, and day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. Nothing could be more vexing to your soul than to know that everyone else is raptured and you're left behind, and that you're without hope. Or that you're in that lake of fire and that there is no hope at all. To understand the report, the truth, that you weren't really saved. Oh, I read these verses over in James, you see, and I take it from experience of one who had it up here and told everybody, yeah, I was saved. It really wasn't. But here in James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, but be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you don't have a desire to look, act, dress, talk, walk like a Christian, who are you deceiving? Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and oh, that's it, seem. There's a lot of people seem to be religious. Seem to have the understanding. Seem to know how to be saved. Seem to know everything about God, but they don't live it. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Oh, you see, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith in Romans, it saith them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short. There's not a one of us got enough covering cover our sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. For years in my work as the insurance business, I've talked to so many people who say, I got full coverage. I don't have a clue what that means. They don't realize that in the back of their policy, there's a whole bunch of exclusions. Things that aren't covered. Oh, and there's even insurance companies out there that advertise, we've got you covered. In fact, there's a company in Ohio that's called Safe Auto Insurance that they advertise and brag about minimum coverage. And it really seems to be that that's what most Baptists have or want to have. They really don't want to go all out for the Lord. But you know, as I thought about those Israelites who were there ready to leave Egypt, and Moses had told them, this is what you got to do now. You take the blood of that lamb and you dip that hyssop in it and you spread it on the door and you do this and you burn the lamb and you purge your house of leavens and you get your shoes on and your loins girded and your staff in your hand and you get ready to go because there's another plague coming tonight. And I thought about that and I thought, do you think they went out there and just dabbed a little blood and said, okay, that's good enough. And then they went back in and sat down and said, well, I'll just go to sleep. No. They had seen the plague of the blood and the lice and the frogs and the fiery hail and the boils and the flies and the darkness. They'd seen all those things. And the fate of their firstborn child was in their hands. No, I'm sure that the mother said, did you get the blood all over the door? And I'm sure he said, I got it. She said, did you get the right thing? You didn't use another branch. You used hyssop, right? And he said, yes, I used hyssop. And I really got it all over because I want to make sure it's covered. And they went in there and they probably held on to their firstborn and they prayed. And he probably said, I'll make sure I got that staff in my hand. And you said, their eyes were probably wide open all night, waiting, hoping. Why? Because of what was at stake. The blood. They weren't just dabbing little bits. They wanted to make sure it was covered. And they wanted to make sure they followed everything to a T. Oh, scripturally, the only full coverage there is for a Christian is to have the covering of the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, that blanket coverage. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 7, it says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Oh man, that's the kind of coverage I want. Complete, full, all my sin covered. I want that policy that covers all perils. All my sins. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I want that coverage that just completely, I can drape myself in it and know that everything is covered. Oh, I once sold life insurance for Brother Larry. I found that people don't like talking about dying. They don't like even thinking about it. Yet it's something that every one of us must face. And the only true life insurance is really being fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, it's not life insurance, it's life assurance. Blessed assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. My declaration page is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. You know, every policy has a declaration page that tells you all about who's covered. Romans 8 and 1, it says, now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's how you can tell, and you've got that blessed assurance, how you walk. And there's no condemnation to those that have the blood of Jesus Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Oh, if you could keep the law, it would be perfect, but it's our weakness. It's our weakness. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh. This life policy that Christ has is one that will never lapse. It'll never go out of force. You don't have to worry about any grace periods because it's all a period of grace. It can never be canceled. And you know what? Never denied coverage. Never denied coverage. It says in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what it says there? That He'll never cancel it. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you, that ye have also seen me and believe not, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I didn't know that until the Lord showed me the truth. Then it became blessed assurance. Oh, when I realized that he had done it all by grace. And he never denies coverage and he never cancels it. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which he has sent me. All which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. You know, one of the things that I found is that insurance companies in this world, they have things that are called bad faith suits. That's when they don't pay up. When they don't pay, they can run insolvent. They can run short of funds. But in verse 40 here it says, "And this is the will of him that sent me, of every one that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He always pays. He always come through. He'll always come through. He's never insolvent. He's never bankrupt. And you know what? You don't have to worry about the premiums either. The premiums are paid in full, and it's paid up for life. In 1 Peter 1:18 it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave glory to him, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your soul." That's the only way you can do it, is through the blood. That payment that's made for you. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever." You know, it's guaranteed renewable. Never cancelable. The question for you is, are your sins under the blood? Do you have that full coverage? Or are you trusting in something else? Are you trusting in your good works? If you're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ, your covenant with death will be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. And when that overflowing scourge, that peril shall pass through, it'll be nothing but vexation to you, knowing the report, the truth. The truth was that Jesus Christ died for you. That He died for you. Are you under the blood? Do you have that full blanket coverage? Amen.